This is David Duke, broadcasting to the world on Web Radio. And this is David Duke, and this is the David Duke Internet Web Radio broadcast. Broadcasting to the entire world with news and information of vital importance for Europeans and people of European descent, no matter where they may live upon the earth. And as I always say, this program is important for all people because the principles we espouse here at DavidDuke.com are not only good for the European people, but they're good for all people around the world. Every race, every heritage, every nationality has the right to defend its own particular culture, its principles, its freedom, and its values. And principles of human freedom are the same in all lands. Today, I want to discuss one of the interesting issues facing the American voter concerning this election and all elections. And that's how American leaders treat our tax money in terms of foreign aid. I just watched CNN International. George Bush has been on a tour in Africa. He is boasting about giving away billions of dollars of American taxpayers' money. Now, the money is supposedly going to fight AIDS in Africa, but most of it will likely just end up in the hands of corrupt African despots. Here's a typical example of the corruption as reported about Tanzania. And this is one of the nations, by the way, that George Bush recently visited on his African tour. This is a quote from Wikipedia, but you can find many news articles concerning the corruption in Tanzania. Quote, "It has been reported that billions of dollars have been stolen and continue to be siphoned with impunity, while the people cannot even afford basic necessities, including medical service and education for their children. The Bank of Tanzania also is involved in a major scandal involving billions of dollars which have disappeared into thin air and remain unaccounted for. Its highest-ranking officials have been implicated in the scandal, and yet the government has done nothing about it." And that's a direct quote on the nation of Tanzania, one of the nations that will be the recipient of the billions of dollars that Bush wants to send, because he's promised to double the $15 billion already given for an anti-AIDS program. He has now committed America to double that amount and give the incredible sum of $30 billion over the next 5 years. As I watched CNN, emotional video of AIDS-infected Africans with tears flowing down their cheeks flooded the television screen. The media has indeed universally applauded this massive giveaway of the American people's tax money. They have promoted this giveaway by showing these heart-wrenching pictures and video, accompanied by announcers' voices filled with empathy and emotion. The scenes that I saw on CNN moved me, as they would move anyone with a human heart. But they didn't convince me that it's moral to send billions of dollars of tax money overseas to people that have never paid a penny in American taxes. Now, before you consider me heartless, let me tell you why I'm opposed to this kind of government foreign aid. I don't think that the federal government has the right to forcibly take your money and send it to a foreign nation, no matter how much the government tries to justify the charity. There are millions of worthy charities in the world. What right does the government have to take the hard-earned money of Americans and give it to anyone? No one gives you a choice about paying taxes. If you don't report your income and pay your taxes, you will likely be sent to prison. You are given no choice in the matter. George Bush and most of the politicians that promote this theft are millionaires. If they want to send their own funds directly to Africa, that's their right. But I think that they have absolutely no right to literally steal your money and send it to the charity of their choice. Now, we could apply this principle to many areas of American life, but let's consider for a moment the horrible condition of health care for millions of Americans. Millions of hardworking, tax-paying American citizens cannot afford, or simply don't qualify for, or cannot get affordable medical insurance for themselves and for their families. A recent article in the New York Times headlined, "Study Finds Cancer Diagnosis Linked to Insurance." And this article revealed that those who don't have private medical insurance are at least twice as likely to receive diagnosis of the most deadly cancers when it's so late that they're difficult to treat and cure. Here's a couple of excerpts from the article. Quote, "Atlanta, a nationwide study has found that the uninsured and those covered by Medicaid are more likely than those with private insurance to receive diagnosis of cancer in late stages, often diminishing their chances of survival. The widest disparities were noted in the cancers that could be detected early through standard screening or assessment of symptoms like breast cancer, lung cancer, colon cancer, and melanoma. For each uninsured patients were 2 to 3 times more likely to be diagnosed in stage 3 or stage 4 rather than stage 1. Smaller disparities were found for non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and cancers of the bladder, kidney, prostate, thyroid, uterus, ovary, and pancreas." Unquote. The study means that lack of American funds are costing hundreds of thousands of American lives each year. I believe that it's immoral to send the American people's own money overseas while hundreds of thousands of American lives are being lost because of inadequate funds. We must also look honestly at the AIDS epidemic in Africa and be very aware of why there is an AIDS epidemic. And this applies not just to Africa, but many other places as well. In Africa, it's the worst of any area of the globe in terms of the general population. AIDS is not a universal disease such as cancers of the breast or prostate, bladder, kidney, or thyroid. Although lifestyles can affect these cancer rates, anyone can contract these diseases, even those who lead the most sober and responsible of lives. On the other hand, the overwhelming factor in AIDS infection and transmission is grossly irresponsible sexual conduct and, secondly, illicit drug use. AIDS is not simply about sex out of wedlock. It is not about a young woman and young man falling in love, having sexual relations, and creating a family in a relationship of love and fidelity. It is about rampant and pandemic sexual promiscuity and irresponsibility. It's about behaving more like debauched, rutting warthogs than like human beings. By now, even the remotest communities of Africa know that chronic, promiscuous, and unprotected sex can cause AIDS. In the recent words of George Bush, AIDS has killed practically an entire generation in Africa. Why is this? The answer is simply because millions of irresponsible people indiscriminately had sex in the fashion of wild animals instead of behaving like caring and responsible human beings. Now, I know that what I've just said here is quite harsh, but no one can deny its truth. AIDS just doesn't happen like a lightning bolt from the sky, or even like a malarial mosquito biting someone. It is a direct result of one's behavior. If you drink enough arsenic, you will die. If you have indiscriminate sex in this age of AIDS, you will die. Most of the hundreds of thousands of Americans dying from cancer have not behaved irresponsibly. On the contrary, the working people who could not afford insurance have obeyed the law. They've worked hard for their families. They've conducted themselves responsibly. And they've paid huge amounts of taxes into the American government during their lifetimes. The tax money they paid is one reason why many couldn't afford insurance in the first place. So we have a scenario where hundreds of thousands of decent Americans are suffering and dying, while at the same time, government sends billions of their tax dollars to African despots. In my last campaign for the United States Senate in Louisiana, I won 65% of the European American vote against a powerful 18-year Democratic incumbent. One reason why working people in Louisiana gave me a landslide of votes was my outspoken opposition to foreign aid. On the campaign trail, I often related the story of a woman I'd met who worked as a desk clerk at the Holiday Inn in the Louisiana city of Alexandria. Her name was Lydia, and she told me that she was a young widow with two children, mightily struggling in her efforts to raise them alone. She pulled out a copy of her paycheck and showed me the huge slice of it taken out in federal taxes. Then she showed me an article from the local Alexandria paper reporting on the billions of dollars sent overseas in foreign aid. She looked at me with tears in her eyes and said, "I just can't understand this, Representative Duke. I work all the time, and I can hardly feed and clothe and shelter my own kids. And I read now that a good chunk of my family's much-needed money goes overseas to people and to despots who'd never paid a penny in U.S. taxes." She finally asked me, "How can they be allowed to do this?" For Lydia, I had and I have no answer. And I realized that the politicians that do this and the media that supports foreign aid also have no answer. It is interesting how generous politicians get with other people's money. If George Bush thinks what is happening is so terrible in Africa, that millions of people are dying, if he's really so worried and conscientious about it, let him take a big chunk of his fortune and give it to Africa. And if he wants, let him try to convince other wealthy Americans to do the same. But he has no right to rob you of your money for his preferred charities. No matter how many pictures of crying AIDS-infected people shown on TV, no one can justify forcibly taking hard-earned money from struggling American families and sending it overseas. If George Bush wants to send his personal money to Africa, he has every right to do it. But Bush, Clinton, Obama, McCain have no right to steal your money and mine and send it to their charity of choice, not while a single American suffers. This has been David Duke, and I look forward to being with you again very soon.
This has been a David Duke Worldwide Web Radio broadcast. For more information and to support our vital work, please visit www.davidduke.org. www.davidduke.org.